Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. We have such a fun episode for you today. I got to talk to my new friend, Jessica Hoddle, about her new book, Face Off With Your Feelings. And let me just tell you, I was taking so many notes during this conversation that I was like, hold up, talk slower, because her wisdom was just incredible. We talk about, well, facing off with your feelings and how our emotions do not trump God's truth, and so many good things about how to heal from our broken places and how God is a safe landing place for us. So get your pens and your paper ready, because you're going to want to take some notes from this episode. But I hope you enjoy it. And here is my conversation with Jessica. Jessica, welcome to the podcast. It is so good to have you with us today.
I am so excited to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Okay. To get started, will you just kind of introduce yourself for us real quick for those who might not know you yet?
Yeah, of course. Well, at the time of this recording, I'm 33 and I met my husband on eHarmony. Yes, the dating app. We've been together for 7 years, married for 5, and I've kind of been on this wild journey of healing, which is just a passion, a heart topic or a passion, whatever you want to say, of just helping women process through their feelings and emotions as well. And I kind of, you know, was raised in a home that I saw aggression and anger on display all the time. And I started to carry that with me. I started to carry anger and hate and bitterness kind of towards the world. You know, I thought the world kind of owed me for the pain that I experienced. And, you know, I didn't know the Lord until I was 22. So I just kind of lived my life, did the things I thought was best, and did really what I had to do to survive. And I kind of, again, had this chip on my shoulder where if I didn't do it, then nobody else was going to, meaning I have to take care of me. And even into knowing who Jesus was, I still kind of carried that a little bit. And I put all of who I was in my body and in men and in business, pretty much all the same time, different times. So you could say that I was really searching for something to fill a void for me, to really kind of help me feel seen, loved, and heard. And I kind of chased that for a long time. And it wasn't until I got married that I think it was the first time I felt emotionally safe and physically safe to where I could begin to just bear my stories and process through the years of trauma and emotions that I carried, because my body was carrying them as well. Meaning I was just stressed, feeling stressed all the time. You know, my body was responding with digestion issues and thyroid issues and pancreas and all the things. So my body was responding according to what I was trying to harbor. And that's why I get passionate about helping women face off with their feelings.
Oh, wow. Okay. I feel like this is so relatable to so many women, especially when you just said your body starts showing physical symptoms of that. I've kind of been on the same journey. Mine really came out as like women's health issues though, but also a lot of digestive. And I have been seeing like a functional medicine doctor and learning how emotional health ties into physical health and realizing how many women deal with this. Just hearing from all of my functional med doctors, it's wild to me how many women go through this.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. And when you were talking about, I go to a kinesiologist too. He does a lot of muscle testing, and it's pretty amazing how your body kind of communicates and tells you kind of what's going on. It's pretty amazing. But he's, you know, functional medicine and natural medicine. So for me, going to him, he'll ask me like, I want you to think about fear. And he'll like do some things. And then he's like, okay, I want you to think about a specific moment of fear. And we literally will go through these emotions and he'll be like, okay, you're stuck here. And I would like start crying or something, you know? And it's just amazing though, how that will happen. It's not all the time, but there are certain things that our body gets stuck in these cycles, emotional loops of fear, which turns into worry and anxiety if we continue to meditate on them. And so it could be sadness, anything. But yeah, our body really does. It's one of our greatest storytellers.
Yeah. Okay. So you have a new book coming out called Face Off With Your Feelings. Tell me a little bit about that and what made you write that book?
Yeah, I started to write it, one, out of my own desire to really help women believe that God wants them well. And things that we hear that are normal, like stress headaches and living in stress and living in busyness, is like, that's kind of the culture way of living. Like you have to be stressed all the time. You have to be anxious all the time. You're like all the time, right?
Yeah.
And for me, I'm kind of, why are we why we keep normalizing these narratives, because the more that we normalize them, the less likely we are to challenge them. So they're common. You're going to experience stress. You will experience suffering. But I always like to say it's a place of visitation, not a place of habitation. Mm. And that's important to me because we go from glory to glory, not suffering to suffering. And I think that for me, it was just this moment of, okay, we see one side of, you know, kind of the church saying that feelings are bad. You can't feel. So what happens is as soon as somebody feels sad or angry, they start to feel shame for their feelings because why they should know better. So then the other side is like, well, just feel all the feelings and it's okay, which both are true. Feelings should not lead us and we should be able to process our feelings in a healthy way. But it's neither one, it's both and. And that's kind of why I wrote this book. It was to help women be able to say, I don't need to have shame for my feelings, but I also don't have to stay in my feelings. I can actually move through them.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So I went through this period a couple years ago. So my husband, we custom harvest, which means like my husband takes our combine and goes all over the country harvesting other farmers' crops. And we actually sold the combine this year, but a couple years ago, he went to Canada for 6 weeks and me and the kids don't have our passports. So we had three kids, all six and under at that time. And for 6 weeks, I was home with three little kids and my husband's iPhone did not work in Canada.
Oh,
and
man.
So it was for 6 weeks, we got to talk to him like once a day. He went and bought like a little track phone, no FaceTiming. It had such spotty service. And I remember we were like a month in to not seeing him. And our kids were like, they didn't really understand. Like they had big emotions because of it. And I remember like laying on my floor at that point every single night, just like sobbing on my floor and feeling so much shame that I was sad. And I was actually seeing a therapist who is amazing. I totally advocate for that.
Yeah.
And I was telling her, I'm like, there's so many people that have it worse. I should be grateful that I have a husband that works. I shouldn't be this upset. And she goes, don't you think it would be kind of weird if you weren't sad that you haven't seen your husband in 6 weeks? And yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, it just totally blew my mind. But then she said, but also God designed us to feel more than one emotion at once. So you can feel grateful that you have such a hardworking husband and miss him at the same time. And so that was just interesting to me because it's, I think sometimes we forget that. And like you said, we go into feeling shame for these feelings. And I just, it's wild to me.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you brought that up because I see this happen a lot. Whenever somebody's going through an experience or a situation, they want to go, well, this person has it worse than me, you know, or this. And I try to catch myself even doing it where I'm like, okay, but you don't have to try to justify your pain based on somebody else's more pain.
Right.
We do that, right? And so instead of just embracing where you are in the situation that you're at and processing through it, we try to justify that we shouldn't, right? Which kind of is that shame that I am bad for feeling this way. I shouldn't because I should have the joy of the Lord, right? Which is true. Again, hear me, it's true. But you can have and hold those two pieces at once, but we don't have to justify because somebody has it worse to try to make ourselves feel better. It's almost like a really tricky way that the enemy comes in with comparison. And really, it just hinders your own ability to process and heal.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. So you said something that really stuck out to me. You said all of our feelings should point to Jesus. So I want you to kind of dive into that for a little bit, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. When I say all of our feelings should point to Jesus, that means that it's one, an invitation. I think oftentimes, again, we go to this negative place that we should know better as believers. And I welcome it as an invitation. Our feelings are indicators. That's it. When something is going wrong or right, it's an indicator. You're having a joyful moment. You're laughing with your kids. You're having a great time with your best friend. That is just, it's in a moment, right? You have a feeling of joy or an emotion of joy. And so for me, it's really being able to go, one, this is an invitation. Two, what are your feelings actually telling you? And three, we need to go to the Lord first before we ever process with anybody else. And something I say often is feelings are not a sin, but feelings can lead us to sin.
Mm.
And our feelings can open up the door for the enemy to come in. So we don't want to give a temptation to the enemy to take our thoughts and our feelings created by our thoughts and let them run wild, right? And I think that that's what's important when we also see where scripture talks about, you know, taking our thoughts captive and making them obedient to Christ and casting down imaginations and the strongholds, because it matters. You know, our thought life is so intertwined in scripture and telling us what to think on, what is right, what is true, what is noble, because then there obviously must be something that's not right, that's not true, that's not noble, that's not good. So to wrap it up, it's really just an invitation for us to go to the Father and say, hey, there's something that still needs tending to in the soil of my heart.
Yes. And I love that not all of our feelings are the truth, and our feelings do not trump God's truth. Because I think sometimes we can say, I had someone say, well, and I've said it before too, really, like, I don't feel God. Like I feel like I'm in the wilderness. I feel like I'm alone. And I said that to my preacher one time, and he's like, well, you might feel like that right now, but that doesn't change who God is. That does not change God's truth just because you're feeling it. And I think that's such a good thing to remember too, when our emotions start to arise, that, okay, this emotion does not change who God is.
Mm-hmm. And that just gives you the invitation to go, well, why do I feel like he's not here? You know, just using your example, why do I feel like God's not there? Like, what is, I like to say, clogging our drain? This is like what I have to check in with. It's like, okay, if my Bible time feels kind of weird and yucky, or like clunky, if I could say, you know, I'm like, why does this feel clunky? Why does this feel like hard or heavy? You know, and that's just another invitation. Hey, what's going on? Need to check in. Because we live in a how far and fast can we go culture? And God is like, how slow and steady can you stay with me?
Yes.
And so when we get into those moments, you know, you as a farmer know the seasons. You plant the seeds and you have to wait to get anything out of that. And that's just a beautiful lesson for us to really take into consideration of the time, the seed, and the harvest. And that goes with healing, that goes with feelings, that goes with understanding. But I don't help women look at their past just so they can sit there. I help them look for understanding and go, oh, this is why I do this. This is why I respond. Okay, this is where Jesus needs to come in. This is the area that I've been holding. And kind of, I've heard it put it when I talk with women, they'll be like, I put them in like cubby holes. You know, like, I don't have time to do with this. So I put them in cubby holes into my brain, versus kind of just let's go through this now. Let's not tuck it away, because it will come back. It will come back in a conversation. It will come back in a lash out, you know, how we kind of hold things in until we just can't anymore. We are like a volcano.
Yes.
But yeah, I just think it's seed time and harvest.
Yeah. Okay. So when we go back to talking about healing, how do we create space to heal in those places of our hearts that we need to heal?
Yeah. The biggest thing for me is, it sounds so easy to say, but it really is space in the physical sense and then the emotional sense. So space, physical, maybe just a few minutes just by yourself. I always tell the story about how I'll put myself in time out with my husband. I'll be like, I am not being nice to you right now. You're irritating me. Like, and I'm like, I just need to put myself on time out. I'm going to go away to bed. Just give me a few minutes, you know? So we might need physical space from people. Even if you're an extrovert, you might not realize how much that kind of solitude does for you. And so physical space or emotional space, white space in your brain, meaning not picking up your phone at a red light. Okay, we don't have to pick up our phone every 5 seconds, that there is nothing to do. Meaning if you're in a doctor's office, do you pick up your phone? Are you on your phone the whole time? Do you pick up your phone at stop signs, red lights? When you go to the bathroom, do you take it to the bathroom? Like, where do you feel every moment of your space? Because you probably have more space to process and to just have white noise than you realize. But we're filling it so much because, again, we live in how far and how fast. And the narrative that the enemy likes to throw us is that we're always behind. Mm-hmm. And so if we believe we're always behind, we're trying to make up that time when we're going to the bathroom, when we're at the red light, you know, in the grocery line, versus just allowing our brains and our body to just be like, you know, kind of staring around, you know, because we've just been taught that you got to be busy to be productive.
Yeah. And I also think that a lot of times we can pick up our phone so much or keep ourselves busy as a distraction to not have to process our feelings.
Yes, absolutely. 100. I agree 100%. And I think we're all guilty of this when life feels overwhelming. And that's really kind of One, it becomes an addiction, actually. I know that sounds crazy, but we do become addicted to our phones, to what we believe it does. That comment we got, that comment we didn't get. Oh, that person, you know, liked it. I wasn't expecting that. She followed me. Like, all of these things are affirming or confirming or not affirming, you know, confirming what we're experiencing, what narrative that we're playing in our head. And so we have to be very careful what we're filling those times with, because a lot of us, we go into different modes where some of us, we will just shut down internally. We won't talk about what we're feeling. We'll just kind of want to lay in bed. We'll just kind of feel almost a hypo where we just shut in. Others feel hyper, where they get anxious, they start getting fidgety, they might shake their leg, they might have nervous tics on their hands. Like, everybody responds differently. And then we try to actually just redirect that into something else. So that's why we pick up our phone. You know, that's why we, I don't even know what else that we do, because picking up our phone, I feel like it's like the only thing that we really do anymore. Or we'll watch Netflix or turn on the TV.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's for sure a go-to. And it's like, sometimes I'll even find myself where it's like, I pick up my phone, but then I'm like, I don't need any, like, what am I doing? It's such a habit. It's just, it's wild. Hey friends, we're just taking a short break. I want to tell you real quick about the Dwell app. Dwell is a Bible app that I have been using, and I have absolutely fallen in love with it. It has changed the way that I am listening and reading and soaking in scripture. Dwell has built the most beautiful reading and listening experience for the scriptures. They have all of these handpicked voices that engage and inspire you, and you can even listen to background music as you're listening to the scriptures. I'll tell you that my favorite way to listen currently is I listen to the Felix voice with background music, and I don't know why, but I am remembering the scriptures so much better. One of the coolest things about Dwell is their new read-along experience. If you've ever seen Apple Music's lyrics feature, then that's exactly what you can expect from Dwell's read-along feature. They also have listening plans, playlists, sleep timers, and so much more. But I am telling you, you are going to love the Dwell app as much as I do. And they were kind enough to give our listeners a discount. So if you go to dwellapp.io/boldlypursuing, you can get 10% off of a yearly subscription or 33% off of Dwell for life. That is a $50 discount. So I encourage you guys, go get this app, try it out. You are going to love it. Again, just go to dwellapp.io/boldlypursuing. And now back to our conversation. Okay. So you talk about a 5-step process to help manage emotions as they arise. Do you want to go through that and talk about that?
Yeah, of course. One of the first things that I recognize, I love helping women get to this point, is acknowledging. Because we do want to acknowledge. We don't want to just stay in the acknowledgement phase, because we do want to get into a place where we do get to manage our mind. But this 5-step process is something that you can do in the car line, in, you know, at the red light, at an event, at your kid's school, like wherever it is. It's just this idea that you're becoming aware that something's happening within you, so that you can kind of put a stop to it. And it, like I like to call it a train switch, so that you just switch directions of your thoughts. But the first thing is really just acknowledging that something isn't right. And for us to even get to that point is just awareness, right? Like, you start mm-hmm. to feel your chest tighten, or your stomach get uneasy, or you start to, your palms start to sweat. Like, you're probably going to have a bodily reaction, a physical reaction, before you're even aware of it consciously. Cause that's what happens with emotions. Emotions are really the chemical release in response to a very specific trigger, whether it's external or internal. And then we go into the second step, which is identifying the emotion. What is it that you're experiencing? So we have to become aware, and then we actually have to identify. And I've learned that when we identify the emotion, it kind of becomes this like tripwire or this trigger for us to actually begin to move towards God's truth about what we are experiencing. Because when we name it, we're no longer guessing what we feel. We're actually naming what we feel, so that we're moving through it. The third part of that is just acceptance. Now, when I say acceptance, this is kind of what we're talking about a little bit about earlier, where you're not trying to deny it. You're not trying to say, okay, well, it's not as big as somebody else's situation. It could be worse. Like, you're just saying, this is a situation. It's not my identity. I'm not adding it to my identity. I'm looking at it as a very objective situation right now. I'm just sad, or I'm just mad. But I like to say, just because you're sad or mad does not make you a sad person. It doesn't make you an angry person. We tend to do that through our emotions, is we try to name them as our identity, because that might be the common one that keeps coming up. I'm just a fearful person. Oh, I just worry all the time. And that comes a part of our identity. But really, to me, that is more of just a tripwire. Like something's trip, like, you know, like it's setting off this reaction inside of you, but it's not your identity. And then the fourth thing is just really getting to the point of, what is this emotion telling you? Meaning, what's the narrative or phrase that you're experiencing with what's happening? Maybe deep down inside, it's this communication that you're not good enough, that you're a terrible mom, that you're a terrible wife, that you're a terrible person, that you're not a good friend. Maybe it's just that I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. I feel like I can't hear from God. Like, what is that kind of emotion or that phrase? Like, what is it telling you? Because that to me is the most important piece. Once we start going down the layers of acknowledgement and awareness of being able to say, oh, this is the root that God needs to pick up so that I can bear a different fruit. Because our root always determines our fruit. And that's the fifth thing, which is the conversation with God. The more we have the word of God in our hearts, the more it's going to flow out of our mouths, right? Because out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. So we want to flow from our identity, not toward it. So when we're coming from our identity, we're able to actually speak that word of God over our situation and go, what is it that's happening here? And really that conversation with God is where that opportunity comes in to add in that railroad switch, which if you picture a railroad, you've probably seen this a couple times, you know, where you'll see that the train switch is right at that point where the train needs to change directions and it goes on a new route. And so our thought process is going one way, but when we start meditating on God's word and we start having this conversation with God in the midst of that emotion in our experience, it brings us not only down and starts to help us process and understand, but it also takes us in a new direction so that we can objectively look at the situation. Because the enemy will convince us and our emotions will convince us that person doesn't like me, she's mad at me, whatever it is. And then in reality, if you start to look at it objectively, like, she does love me. I know that she loves me. She might have said this and it hurt my feelings. I can talk about this to her later. But right now, this is what I'm feeling. And so there is definitely two different processes. But when we have that conversation with God, it really changes everything.
Yeah, that's super helpful. Okay, so how does this tie in with processing our feelings and feeling safe with God? Because I know that there's people that are like, feeling safe at all is really hard. But then even when it comes to God, they're like, I just don't know.
Yeah. And the thing about it is too, is our view of God dictates our relationship with God. And so a lot of times we form our view of God based on our relationships here on earth. So if you feel like you can't trust your earthly father, or if you feel like you don't have friends to trust, or, you know, you kind of just feel like nobody understands you, or you don't feel safe, whether it's emotional or physical, you're going to have a harder time to feel safe with God because you haven't experienced safety on earth. And that was kind of my perspective of God coming in. And I know some people, they might have a great relationship with their dad. And so they never really struggled with that relationship with the father like I have. But I come from the other side where I didn't feel safe. Like, I thought he was just kind of this king sitting on his throne, and there he was, and I'm to worship him, so to speak. Like, that's true. But I just thought it was like this disconnect, you know, versus that invitation that he does want me. He doesn't need me, but he wants me. Mm-hmm. And that was probably the huge connection. But to understand that the reason why God is safe is because he's consistent and he never changes. So he doesn't change his feelings about you. You know, scripture talks about how there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Angels, demons, nothing. Mm-hmm. So that means nothing. And we like to insert our sin and my mistakes and all these things. And so just this constant idea that God is the same, like he sends the same kind of love no matter what is happening, even in through reproof, correction, you know, moments that we go through that we're healing, that's teaching us, like all of these things. But really it comes down to the core belief that God is safe because he's consistent. He doesn't manipulate you. He's not out to use you, abuse you. He's not giving you sickness to teach you a lesson. Like, all of these narratives that sometimes we hear can make us not feel safe. But when we go to his true nature and character, that is when we begin to know that he is safe.
Yeah, that's so good. Okay, so maybe talk to the person, because I know I've been there before, when you know you're feeling something, but you don't even know what exactly it is that you're feeling. You don't know if it's frustration or anger or hurt, and you really can't even put your finger on it. Where do you start when you're at that point?
Yeah, I think this is something that happens even with my husband a lot. Sometimes he's like, I don't really know. And I'll even say this too. I'm like, I don't really know. Like, you just have days where you know that something's off, but you don't really know maybe what triggered it. Or to be honest, maybe it's just hormones or something, especially right. with the women.
Yeah.
And you can pay attention to that. Like, not everything has to be this big blown up thing, because sometimes it really could be emotions or hormones affecting your emotions, because our biology affects, you know, our thoughts, and our thoughts affect our biology. So regardless if you know what it is that you're feeling or not, something I always like to tell people is, if they don't know or they're asking somebody they don't know, just give yourself a little space and time. Just don't have to answer. Just respond to the person that you don't know. But also, if you're somebody that's kind of trying to new to feelers, because I know that there's people that are not feelers at all. Mm-hmm. They kind of, when you ask them how they feel, they're like, what? They kind of look at you like a dog. They like tilt their head a little bit and they're like, what? I don't know what I feel. Is that there's called an emotional wheel, where you can buy it pretty much any like Etsy shop or anything like that, where you can just basically show them the wheel, and it helps. It has all kinds of different emotions on it, and they can just look at the wheel and go, oh, this is what I'm feeling. That's a great way that if you have somebody that's hard at communicating or they don't know how to communicate, just being able to give them the wheel. I don't know the exact name of the wheel. I just call it emotion wheel, but it has all kinds of different colors on it and different layers. I mean, there's so many different emotions on it, to be able to help that person. Okay, well, you might not know how to name it, but what do you think that you're experiencing here? But sometimes it does just take take some time to decompress. I'm an internal processor first. And so sometimes I need a couple days before I communicate with my husband, or just even like an hour or so, whatever it is. But everybody's different. Every situation's different. But if you do have a hard time communicating, maybe getting one of those wheels and just being able to look and go, oh, I'm frustrated. I feel hostile. I feel rage. I feel anger. I feel grief. I feel joy. I feel sorrow. Like, it has all these different names to be able to go to identify what it is that you're experiencing.
Oh yeah, that's helpful. Okay. So Jessica, tell me, what is the biggest thing that you hope someone who reads your book walks away with or walks away knowing?
Well, one, that God does want them well. And I would say two, that your feelings don't have to have the final say.
Oh, that's good. Your feelings don't have to have the final say.
Yeah, I would definitely say, because I think so many of us believe that what we feel is who we are, and that what we feel is the truth, and that we can't challenge what we feel. And I'm just like, no, that's not true. We actually get to challenge what we feel, because he's given us his word and his Holy Spirit to be able to discern what is true and what is not.
That's so good. And also that we can challenge our feelings before we act out yes. of them. Like, how many times yes. have I done something out of my emotions, and then later I'm like, if I would have just calmed down for 5 minutes, I wouldn't have made a total fool of myself, because, you know, like,
and now I have to go apologize and say I'm sorry.
Exactly. Yes. Oh, goodness.
Yep. So true.
Okay. Well, Jessica, is there anything that we didn't get to talk about that you wanted to touch on?
I think I would just leave, you know, the listeners with just the encouragement that healing always brings tension. And oftentimes when somebody starts to heal, they go, this is so hard. Maybe I'm just not moving in the right direction. And so I like to say that when we do change, there is tension, because you have to brace the connection point, which is the hard and the good, which is the hurt and the healing at the same time. Like, it has to come head on collision with that, which is really just the word of God coming right on into your pain. Mm-hmm. And that's where that tension feels, where it just feels hard. And you're like, this feels really muddy and it's thick. And will I ever get to the other side? And that's when slowly over time, right, just planting your pain into the ground as a seed, so that it can die and bear a harvest and a new fruit in a later season. So just stay encouraged that when it feels hard and there's tension, it doesn't mean that you're moving in the wrong direction.
That's good. Okay. Well, tell everyone where they can go get your book. and where they can find you online.
You can get the book at jessicahoddle.com. You'll see it right there based off with your feelings. And I love hanging out on Instagram at Jessica Hoddle.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on today and having this conversation. It was so good.
Thank you so much for having me.